Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
He's made 5, 6, 7 yards. The great bullock of a man, this fellow.
Hello and welcome to the Sligo Podcast, episode 8 of season 3, we reckon.
Episode 6.
Episode 6, sorry. premature. Joined by Rossa Boyle and local oligarch Ronan Moriarty yet again.
Oligarch?
You're chairman of a soccer club. So where do your funds come from, Ronan?
You were giving out about sanctions there earlier before the pod as well. The fines.
Welcome, lads. It's been 2 weeks, obviously, so a lot has happened again in the Sligo sporting world since we've been on last. And it was a long bank holiday weekend. And Cheltenham for yourself, Ronan.
Yeah, great week. It's I'm still not right for a minute. It takes a bit of getting over, but yeah, spent the old double bank holiday in town. I think everybody was in good spirits. Also had a few on Tuesday for the first day at Cheltenham. But,
lovely.
Yeah, town was buzzing. Enjoyed the car park now. The weather was just about warm enough for it. Thursday night was freezing. Friday night it was cold, but smash hits were playing absolutely.
Did warm anyone? Did warm anyone up?
Ah, like such tunes.
That a class. I was at them in Taste of Dublin 1 year as well.
They're just
brilliant stuff.
Yeah. I think the Le Mans actually tweeted on Saturday morning they're the best band ever. And
could be. It could be. Some belters.
You won happy listeners with your lucky 15.
Yeah. No. I met a few. Yeah. Just a shout out to Claude en route, who might have lost a few pounds on that lucky 15. That was a bit of a whim last week. But I didn't want to be thrown out favourites, and sure, favourites were winning all over the show.
They were. I didn't do much myself now. Bit of football training, got up to a meet and greet with David May and Dennis Irwin Friday evening, then drove up and down. It was lovely.
A lovely picture you sent in of you.
Yeah, myself and David May were chatting about all our old centre-back days.
Yeah.
How the game has gone. But yeah, it was grand. A few of my old yahoos now up there, in fairness. We're wondering about Harry Maguire, two lads like on stage when they were talking about the treble in 99.
Oh, no, it was Maguire! Shut up, Maguire!
Was it busy?
He shouted at me. I drove him down. I just shut up. I just shouted at him.
I'd say it was a few hundred there.
What were the charges for it, actually?
It was a Christmas present, so I couldn't tell you.
Right,
okay. I had a spare ticket as well. I went up on my own, drove up and down. So
fair play to you.
It's lonely.
It's a bad week for me now, to be fair.
It was. That was my very quiet one. Roscoe, you took in the Triple Crown, you were there.
Yes, a very action-packed weekend. We had the christening, and then we had the Triple Crown. Big weekend now, very busy.
I only found that out yesterday that they kept the Aviva open for the Ireland game.
Yeah, so it was ridiculous.
Unreal,
like. It was like there was a good buzz after the match, and we were kind of thinking, what will we do for watching the match? And then it just comes out in the PA. We will be keeping limited bars open on level 1 and level 3 to show the France-England match. I was like, oh, sure, happy days. Like,
they announced that? Like,
yeah, they announced it. Like, and then it was pandemonium, though. So when we went out to the bar, and I was asking the staff, I was like, what's the story? Like, that's the first we've heard of it as well. Like, So I think they like been more or less just finished up, you know, two-thirds of the staff in the Aviva, one-third stayed on. And then everyone was saying, oh, this, like, it wasn't much crack. A small enough crowd was dispersed, and then I don't know who, some steward said, he goes, you want to go up to the premium level there, level 3, like, and he was like, have you passed? And I was like, no, I don't. He goes, you'll fucking wing it, like, you'd be sound. So none of the elevators go upwards at this time, so you have to get an elevator to level 5, and then you get the steps down to level 3, and then you go straight into the premium, and the bar was open, and there was a massive crowd there. That's where me and Gordon Darce were hanging out.
Gordon Darce,
yeah.
Lovely fella.
Lovely guy. No, it was good. It was actually, look, most of those games I've been to in Aviva in the last year, like, no crack, terrible atmosphere.
And was the game on the big screen, like?
Yeah, it was. Right. It was on the TV.
People were still outside,
people
like?
People were just sitting out in the seats drinking, watching the game on the big screens.
That's great.
No sound, like. It was good. And, like, there was a big crowd inside, and it was good atmosphere there.
So it wasn't great for the pocket, though. The pints aren't cheap in Aviva.
No, but you know what? I must compliment the pints as well.
They're very good. They're a New Zealand game, and delicious Guinness.
Yeah.
Lovely Guinness.
Jesus, was great now. So, oh, we had a good skip there now, to be honest with you. And then it was...
Well, some sort of events, there's a good flow on it, like.
Yeah, there is, yeah.
I was at Leopardstown there after Christmas as well, and there was great flow on the Guinness. It was lovely, actually, up there as well.
Yeah.
So when there is a good flow on it.
That's very good. So, yeah, lots happened since the last 2 weeks. Yeah, I'm more tired today than you were out, and I'm fucking fresh, and I'm
trying to come back myself today.
Very right? Weird dreams this night. Oh. I dreamt I was cutting the love triangle with... Laura Woods from Sky Sports and Joe Marler, the England hooker.
Yeah, they're going out really for it.
No. But I was, and it was a very weird dream. Laura Woods was also my teacher, and I was about to play for the Cumann na Bunscoil team in Croke Park at the same time. Right. But I was an adult. But Marler came in.
What was Marler like? He seems like a nice guy.
He came in to give a talk in the school, and he's wearing hot shot, and she fell from him. I was raging with him. Yeah.
But you managed to still stay.
I don't know. I woke up.
You managed to still stay in the mix, though.
I think I did. I think the Cumann na Bunscoil game had me in her eyes. Yeah. She's one of the greats now.
There's a film in this somewhere.
There is. Joe Marler,
Laura Woods. Laura Woods is one of the greats.
I have one.
Actually, shout out to one of the other greats in Sligo Town, Liam Bellew.
Go on.
We were out last Tuesday for the old Cheltenham, and Liam set his alarm for 8 o'clock in the morning to wake up to have a couple of fried eggs on toast so he could prepare himself properly.
First race at 1:30, was it?
First race at 1:30. So he had the fried eggs and toast. Purposely set the alarm for 8 o'clock. At 11:30, he tucked into a spaghetti bolognese. And the story was in 40 that, no, this will keep me going now for the day. I think he only made it till about 7:45.
So fried eggs and spag ball aren't...
the spag ball at 11:30 now, I thought.
What about the...
He's making himself.
Yeah.
So he's starting at 10:30 in the morning making a spaghetti ball.
It was great for chant purposes because, like, Liam Bellew, spaghetti ragu. It works. We had a few different variations on the end.
We had another a listener of the pod, Dr. Patrick O'Sullivan, who had a loaf of white bread before. The loaf of white bread before the 12
he a full loaf of white bread.
Loaf of bread for soakage, man.
What the fuck?
Like, I just thought it was...
How many slices in the loaf?
20 at length, 2 heels as well, like.
For that Tuesday, like, I would try and get up as late as possible because you know it's going to be a long day. Yeah. But he specifically wanted to get up at 8 so he'd have the stomach for a spag ball at 11.
There'd be a lot of nervous tension waiting for 5 hours, would there be?
Yeah, you're waiting around, yeah. I don't know.
The guts would have had a nice... Once them first bits of beginners hits with it, the spag ball. Interesting.
The two boys were on the Spintex, I believe, in
Tuesday.
Oh,
lovely.
Oh, something I noticed today, actually. Do you know if you're coming back from Tubbercurry on the way to Sligo again, and just before Connery, there's kind of a V, not in the road, because on the side road, there's a few houses in the V, but you see a dog lying there.
Yes.
He must be dead. Oh. I haven't seen him fucking once now. I only realised today. I go there. I realised last week, and I just come by today, and he wasn't there.
Oh.
So RIP to that dog if he is dead.
The guy in Charlestown will be there.
Who?
The guy in Charlestown.
Who's the guy in Charlestown?
That's always standing around the alley there in Charlestown.
I wouldn't notice him. I go by every day, twice a day.
Yeah, there's a guy in Charlestown that's just waving. But halfway up through Charlestown, there's a wee alley there outside his house, I think.
No.
Keep an eye out for him. I don't know if he's still there, actually.
He's going to be dead, too.
Does anybody know, actually?
Let us know if that dog is dead, by the way, if you live out that way.
And another question for our listeners from that Charlestown area. The JJ Finance, is that open again for the pints, or is it just the hardware section open now?
The side door opened there last week, I think. But maybe he was just bringing something in.
Okay.
Because we're planning a trip up the Mayo Way now in the first week of May.
Mm-hmm.
On a Saturday, we're getting a bus around up there.
Yeah.
Going to Claremorris to Jimmy Sloyne's pub first.
Yes.
And then work our way back down.
We did a couple of years ago now when the form wasn't great after a couple of losses. We did a mystery tour.
I remember that actually, yeah.
And we got the lads on a bus and visited all the pubs in that area in an evening, out to Bunanad and Charlestown. It was a great old bit of crack.
So there's some looking at you in Bunanad and a crowd of rugby players fucking arriving in.
There was, and we had a WWE belt with us as well. And we asked them who was their best drinker in the pub, and we did a challenge with whoever it was. We were necking pints with skull and pints, and whoever won the race got to keep the belt. So the belt was lost in in Charlestown. Oh, what's the pub on the left hand side? Just two.
Murray's.
Yeah, Murray's. Yeah. So the belt was lost. So I think Shane McGuinness from Carrick was sent back in again to win the belt back before we got back on the bus. So we sent him in. He got the job done. It was either Shane or Jake Sexton, but whoever it was, we got the belt back for us anyways.
That's not the first belt we've been drinking with our own places. My wife's in Charlestown.
Yes, that's right.
He told a strand jersey on me on the Saturday morning.
He did, and you had a fish mitten.
Yeah, an oven glove.
An oven glove. She has a fish. Yeah, which actually made it to some festival that we were at pretty soon after. It made it to Rory Gallagher Festival.
This is 2006 now. That was us.
We went into sort of the pub. What could have been Murray's again?
The Saturday morning, yeah.
And we... Gary Clancy was with us.
Yeah,
I don't think he had much sleep on board, and we were telling the lads in the pub in Charles Strand that he was a Connacht boxing champion, and they were buying drinks.
I'd taken a Tour of Strand jersey from the house party right the night before, and I don't know where we got a wrestling belt from. Must have been in the back of your car.
Must have been, yeah.
Always because the photo.
We put the photograph up, yeah, but we're in the pub anyways, and there's rounds being ordered for the champ, and Clancy was doing shadow boxing every now and again.
This is on a Saturday morning, after a Friday, and Charles, Jesus.
Where were you in the front, mate?
You're the 21st.
21st
of a girl who worked in the bank at Ross I never met before.
Sherry-Ann Kelly.
And Gary Clancy.
Shout out.
Never met.
Well, actually, her father, an American fella, KD's bar.
That's
his bar. It was his bar.
Right. Yeah. Sport. You lost a famous darts match up in Charlestown as well.
Huh?
You lost a famous darts match up in
Charlestown. I did? Yes, sorry. Yeah. Great things, Charlestown. On the way home from a character in Conor Cooking, I lost a darts challenge against Killer Carl Casey. Actually presented with a tea towel, I think, in Taylor's tea. There's a photo of that too.
There's a photograph of that too, yeah.
He took that very seriously.
Yeah, well, he likes his darts, Carl. Likes his darts.
Yeah. He was trying to wave me there at the Rovers Dundalk game. He was stewarding the away fans. So,
good
best
stuff.
Of luck, yeah. But go to sport. So, we're coming up with Ryan McEnroe, the Strand Celtic manager. They're in the Conor Cook quarterfinal this weekend against Athenry. The league is coming to a close, so a few weeks left now. We'll chat with that, Murty. We'll chat with the Rovers, of course. GA, Sligo, scraped to Waterford. Talk about that, Ross. It's been a few weeks since the rugby. It's a dark cloud over Hamilton Park. We'll get to that.
The sun will shine again, mate.
And we'll have your sum up of Ireland's Triple Crown victory. But first, we'll have a bit of Sligo or not Sligo. Very quick fire. Sorry. We've announced a live show.
Yes, very importantly, actually.
What date is it again? 22nd of April.
I can't remember.
Friday, 22nd of
April. Yeah.
Okay.
Someone told me to compliment you on the
cue cards,
the penmanship.
Did you write that actually? Yes, I did actually.
Someone told me during the week to compliment you on that. I can't remember.
But you know what? I was actually
calligraphy.
That's actually hilarious.
Yeah.
I looked at it and I said, Jesus, that's pretty good because my handwriting is atrocious.
Yeah, it was very impressive. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
someone
good.
Did tell me to compliment you. I can't remember that name at the minute.
Good stuff. Today, of course, with the official Sligo Way cue cards for the night.
We'll fill them in. All our guests who originally confirmed have reconfirmed. Yeah. We're very happy with that.
Yeah,
we thought we might lose one or two. Although McSherry texts you, he wants to know exactly what's going on, does he?
He wants the lowdown, yeah.
Oh, there'll be no sly underhand digs here, Mark. Don't worry.
Yeah. We'll leave the politics at the front door.
Yeah. So 22nd, tickets. If you have your tickets, you're in. I don't know if any more are going to go on sale. I don't think so. Because there's a limited attendance.
Limited attendance. Might be a bit more now, though, with the...
We might be able to get a few more in.
But
we might just... We'll see. We'll see. If people want tickets, give us a DM and we'll see what we can do.
We can see what we'll do. So, yeah. Okay. So that's the 22nd of April. We're looking forward to that. And our guests are Raph Cotero, Alan Keane, Conor Mara, RF, Paddy Pearson, Frankie Feeney, Gino Boyle, and Mark McSherry, TD.
Sensational.
Very good. Okay. Quick round of Sligo or not Sligo, lads.
Okay, back with Sligo and Oslo. Quick fire this week, lads, because saving a bit for the live show in a few weeks' time and, of course, our other show. Our next show, anyways. what am I trying to say here? Who's the reigning champ?
I am.
Yeah. Ronan, definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
Comfortably, he reckons.
Yeah, look, he's a bit smug though, isn't he? He's giving out about fellas with smug answers. And
Jesus Christ, yeah, that's later in the show. So 12-12, so 6 each.
6 each.
We'll go quite quick through these, yeah. So I'm starting with Ronan, I mean, the reigning champ always starts, yes, that's the rule. So Ronan, the Donnelly School of Motoring.
Sligo.
Question one. Sligo, yes, correct. Ross, Brendan Tierney's School of Motoring.
Oh, that's Sligo.
It is, so that's the motoring questions out of the way.
It's a motor car, so you just drive up the road there.
Actually, a real hotspot for the motoring industry here, this stage.
That's where I got the idea from. Patsy Gallagher drove by me earlier. Ronan, Gortna Fola.
Gortna Fola, could you spell the last bit?
I can spell it all for you. Gortnafolla.
Not in Tygo.
Correct. Mayo. Ross, the River Duff.
Not in Sligo.
In Sligo.
Up on the way to Van Doren, is it?
Yeah. River Duff.
Oh, yeah.
Ronan, Max, fishing tackle.
There's always fishing tackle.
It's fishing tackle. Fishing tackle. Max, fishing tackle.
M-A-C-S, is it?
M-A-C-K-S.
Oh, all right. That didn't really make me think it wasn't. Not in Sligo.
In Sligo.
Yes.
In with the road. Up yes. There in Ballester. She yes. Passed it in. And
it's like
that's the first real fishing tackle.
Scores are tied. 4 to go.
Ross.
I knew the K, yeah.
The Coleman Music Centre.
Sligo.
Yeah. Ronan Carroll Keel.
Sligo.
Sligo, yeah. Ross, the Lochbow Equestrian Centre.
Oh. In Sligo.
In Sligo, yeah, correct. Ronan
Rockbow was there.
Equestrian Centre existed there.
I just was the question was the Equestrian Centre.
I thought it was a little trick that one.
Yeah.
I thought it was a poetry
show. I knew Rockbow was the Equestrian Centre.
We're sticking with Equestrian Centres. Yeah. Ronan, Riding Cowboy Equestrian Centre.
Ah!
What's that with Jeff?
Surely not, but come on.
No, go on.
Not in Sligo.
It's not in Sligo,
no.
Ross, Pablo's Beauty Salon.
Jesus Christ, there's about 10,000 of them in fucking houses there. Not in Sligo.
Yeah.
How do you call Pablo fucking run the beauty salon? Like, I wouldn't know, like, there's about 10 beauty salons here on the doors. People
have to know what the previous one. Yeah.
Pablo. It's a crazy Italian.
You want a Brazilian?
But actually,
the Brazilian's still on the go. Sorry, go on. No.
Actually, the other day when I was in getting the haircut in the place there, Guys and Dolls in Ballysadare, the fella who was the Roberto's manager came in and he looked like Adam Sandler in that, what's that movie, Hidden Gems?
Yeah.
Yeah, like with the gold chains, the black top, and he came in.
Where was this, sorry?
This is in the hairdresser.
Oh, sorry,
right?
So the manager, Roberto's
come in and he was like, hey, how's it going? How's the haircut like? He's like, maybe you need to get me cutting hair. So he left anyways, and then the lovely lady said, yeah, he comes in every day asking, can he cut hair? He reckons he's done a hairdressing course and he wants to come in and do a bit. It was an enjoyable aspect of the haircut, yeah. So
that's good.
Hope he gets the start.
Right, just one left H. Dykes Disco Bus, Ronan.
Dykes. Not in Sligo.
Not in Sligo, right. And Ross, for you finally, Big Jabs Boxing Club. So the boxing club out there.
Not in Sligo.
Big Jabs Boxing Club is not in Sligo, yeah. No. A tie.
A draw.
So Ronan holds the title, 5 each out of 6.
Not bad.
So Ronan holds the title. Max Fish has a bad one to lose.
Yeah,
there,
especially when you put the K on it, on reflection, if you put the K
on it. Well, how do you go off-seas? Oh, no.
You're going banging the steering wheel when you drive by it now on the way home. Okay, we'll come back.
I hold on to the belt, like.
A big pardon?
I hold on to the belt.
You do?
Yeah, you do. Just be humble, please.
Okay, we'll come back with Ryan McEnroe, the Strand Celtic manager's interview, and a roundup of junior soccer and the Rovers. Okay, ahead of our live stream on our YouTube page, of course, off the Conical quarterfinal on Sunday, 2 p.m. in Strand Hill, Strand Celtic versus Athenry FC. We cut up with Strand Celtic's joint manager, Ryan McEnroe. Here's a few minutes of Ryan looking ahead to the game on Sunday. Okay, we're joined by Ryan McEnroe, joint manager of Strand Celtic. Ryan's with us ahead of the Connacht Cup quarterfinal this weekend versus Athenry. Ryan, you're very welcome.
Cheers, lads. Good to be on it.
So Ryan, your joint manager along with the bowl Aaron O'Boyle.
Yeah, he'll be listening to this later, so he won't appreciate that start already.
It's all right, he can text me. Or he can text at 2 o'clock in the morning, calling out Mark.
Calling out Mark as usual.
He likes to do.
I don't text him on Wednesday now, which is surprising.
Myself and Aaron O'Boyle and James Hannigan have been looking after the team since about October, November. Can't remember what dates or roughly when, but going well, and we have obviously the quarter final on Sunday, 2 o'clock this Sunday.
Yeah, so it's going pretty well. So how's the buzz around Strand Hill for the game?
Training going well? I'd say there's a good buzz amongst the players, like Connacht Cup quarterfinals don't come around every so often.
Yeah, there has been. There's been a great buzz. Even the last week of training has been very good. This week now will be a big week in preparation for Sunday. The lads are all, they're buzzing, they're hungry and they're motivated, ready to go for Sunday. A lot of them, it's their first ever quarterfinal in the Connacht Cup. So it's a big event for them too.
Yeah, and you're facing one of the favourites for the Cup, Athenry. I think they've won it 5 times. What do you know about Athenry? Or have you done your homework on them?
I do, but I couldn't really tell you though, yeah, could I? But no, there's a look. If we've done a bit of research on them, I'm sure they've done the research on ourselves too. They're always up there. This side of this time of the competition, they usually get to the quarterfinals, finals, semi-finals, final. I think they won it 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago. Yeah, they're a good team. They'll have a lot of experience. But after the last round, all we wanted, lads, was a home draw. That's after we got the home draw, we were just like, we don't really mind who we get after that. So we're just happy that the game will be in Sligo and in Strandhill.
Yeah, you got the home draw. So the strength here we wasn't is we know we're doing the live stream of the game ourselves on YouTube. Myself and my co-commentator are Ronan here.
Yeah, looking forward to having a go with you the lads then.
Yeah.
Especially after what happened in McSherry Park a couple of weeks ago, the lads were having a pop at me, so.
Not me, Mert. No,
that was your last league game. Your last game actually was 2 weeks ago, the Ebet Carton 5-1.
5-1, yeah.
So, going back on that, you're on a serious run of form, Ryan. That must give you great confidence into the game at the weekend. Like you're unbeaten in I don't know how many games, and you picked up wins against Carberry, Cartran, and everyone in between in the last few months.
Yeah, like since about Christmas, lads, it was kind of you just kind of said to the lads, "What do you want from the season?" And in fairness, like they've reacted well. We're getting huge numbers to training, and there's lads away in college and working in Galway and Dublin, and they just come back, you know, during the week or weekends to train. The results have gone our way. We have been playing some good football at times. But that just goes back to the lads. They're, as I said, they're motivated and they're hungry and have been since probably about Christmas time.
Tell me about Dylan Martin, because I don't think he's talked about enough when you see what the goals he's hit this season.
He's been brilliant. Like he's class. I mean, yes, you're right, Jed. He doesn't get talked about. I think he's second or third in the goal scoring charts at the moment. But he gets any sniff of a shot at goal or any chance, and some of the goals he scored have been outrageous. He's been brilliant, and it's not just him up top. He's complimented very well. Unfortunately, Aaron O'Boyle got an injury in the last round of the cup, just a freak accident, went over in his ankle and fractured it. But like, there's a couple of other players up top. Aaron's obviously going to be a huge loss for us. There's a couple of other players up top that have just really, you know, complimented Dylan Martin, I suppose. But yeah, no, you're right. He doesn't get talked about enough at all.
Well, I was going to mention Aaron's injury next to mine as well.
Sorry. Yeah, poor Aaron. No, you've probably been talking to him about it, Edo. He's pretty gutted about it, obviously.
He's ringing me here right now.
Of course he is.
Hello.
That's a boy ringing.
What's the crack? I'm just doing an interview with Ryan here. Go on, Marty.
Did he not say Mert to me to tell me to be professional? I thought that's.
I know. Yeah, he's answering the phone.
That's all right. That's all right. That's Aaron Boyle for you. He, as you know yourself, Mert, he's been very good, and not having him on the pitch is a huge loss. But look, he's on the sideline, and he has the experience and the knowledge as well. So he'll be there at least.
Yeah. Come here, and I would say after the last day, you brought on a good few subs. You'll have a few selection headaches, I'd say. A couple of lads you brought on made a big difference that I thought actually might have started the game the last day against us.
Yeah, like, you know, like that, it was one of them games where you were coming back into it and we felt we had to make some changes. And it was just, like, we have, as I said, huge numbers coming to training and huge numbers coming to matches, Mark. So I don't think we started the same 11 back-to-back this season, and it's changing every week. Like the 11 starting and the lads coming on. If you're not starting, you're just itching to get back into the starting 11, and that's when lads come on. And as you said, they do a job when they come on, because they're thinking in 2 weeks' time that they have this Connacht Cup quarter final, and they just want to get into that squad.
Yeah, no, it's very personal, even with just the strength of the lads that you actually, not whatever the lads that started, the fellas you got on now, I thought even just made it like a big difference. There was probably one time there in the game, I'd say just before half time, where that probably was our probably best 15 minutes there at 2-0, I think. You know, we probably could have scored a couple, but even I think when we got the penalty, that was 3-1. But even then, I don't think we ever looked like at that stage we were actually going to go on, you know, and get a draw. I thought he actually even still looked stronger than us at that point.
Yeah, it's hard to know. Do you know what, actually, probably like earlier in the season, like he beaten us the last couple of seasons by narrow odd goal, but this, having the confidence that we know we can beat you, and we bet you earlier back, it was October, November, that probably gave us a bit of confidence too, that, you know, look, if we can hold out here, we can do it. But yeah, no, it was a tight game up to that stage, I think.
Yeah, Brian, sorry, I might have to do a bit of editing on this later on. After my phone call there from Aaron O'Boyle, in the background.
You should be talking, these fellas should know this week.
Well, I would have thought when the joint manager was told the other manager that he was doing an interview.
He's one of them lads, he's just jealous he didn't get asked, I think, at all. He just said he'd ruin it.
His timing was ironic now, but not to wish you the best of luck. Looking forward to ourselves, and like, it's great to be flying the flag for Sligo Leitrim in the Connacht Cup, and we're hoping for a victory here anyways. And but I suppose there must be great communication between yourselves and Strand Celtic and the management of Clara Strand Hilgi as well. That obviously gives you a great boost.
Yes, that's really got us over the line the last few months, has been the communication. And it's been since we've had the Clara lads, they go back, like, I think that's when our kind of season, you know, kicked off, really, because we started so poorly in the league, and that was down to the players and ourselves. Like, we just couldn't, we lost a few games, we dropped points, and then as soon as, like, some of the Barry Amanis, Conor McDonough, like even Aaron O'Boyle, the two Dohertys, when they came into the squad, you can, like, they're just great footballers, and that's really boosted us on.
Roberto's in the squad depth now, even if them lads were missing again, I don't think you'd be as worried as you would have been earlier in the season, because you blooded so many young players into the team.
Definitely. And I keep on saying there's young lads in this team, and it's great for this team, because the senior team, because a lot of these lads, you know, would have played underage for the club and, you know, worked their way through the academy or whatever you want to call it, and now they're kind of getting the rewards for it. So yeah, no, look, we're buzzing for Sunday. You know, really, it was only today I started really looking forward to it. So hopefully we get a good crowd out on Sunday. As it stands, it'll be down in Strand Hill Community Park. Our pitch has struggled the last few months, so we'll see. We'll make a call, but we're just giving the pitch the best chance that the game will go ahead down in Strand Hill.
Well, hopefully the pitch is playable. I know the rugby lads will take you up above the pitch is waterlogged down there.
Surely you should have been getting Morris on, not me.
Look, he's no more phone calls to Morris. Ryan, wish you the best of luck. We're looking forward to ourselves, and thanks a million for that.
No, lads, thanks very much for all the work you do, and I'll see you on Sunday, boys.
Okay, that's Ryan McEnroe, joint manager Strand Celtic FC, with Aaron O'Boyle, his co-manager. Ronan, looking forward to our game on Sunday. We'll have a brief look at it now. Yeah,
It's going to be tougher than I did a bit of research there, but I know they have a youth international.
Oh, right.
Not a youth international, a junior international. Okay. Sorry, he's called up to the current junior squad.
Okay.
Found that out at the weekend. They're top of the Galway top league.
Which is no mean feat.
No, and undefeated. And like, you're looking, obviously, that league would include Salt Hill, Marview. Salt Hill will be Renton Connacht Cup champions. We played them a couple of years ago. I thought they were exceptional. So they're coming here with a bit of pedigree, but I was very impressed by Strand against us, and I've been very impressed with them since Ryan said himself, probably since Christmas. They beat us the week before Christmas, and since then they've been very, very good, you know.
Yeah, on a great run since Christmas, is right. So that's on Sunday at 2 p.m. We'll be in the commentary box, on our streamed live on our YouTube page. We'll do a bit of work before.
We will. We'll obviously share the links for it.
Yeah, we'll get all the links up on that. So it was a week off for ye.
It's a week off for everyone, Nero, yeah.
Everyone, I meant you as a footballing community.
The community had a week off to enjoy themselves, which is great. So, yeah, look, we're heading into
So the Super League could be wrapped up this weekend, we believe.
Super League could be wrapped up this weekend. Kirby struck the front there that last week of fixtures. They struggled away to a 12-0 win over Aachen.
Struggled.
No, I'm joking. They obviously can't.
I think it was 10-0, 12-0, was it?
11, sorry, I think was the right result.
Genie Mac.
Yeah, impressive. So that's, the shot above us after our defeat to Kirby, to Strand. That was the last week of fixtures. So Kirby are now top, haven't played with two games left to play. They've got 50 points. We're in second, haven't played 21 games, so that's one game left on 49. And then Strand are back in third on 43, haven't played 20. So Kirby win one of the last two games to win the league. If we take a point on our last game, we'll finish second. And then there's 2 points between Strand and MCR in third third position.
Down the bottom's where it's all happening.
Down the bottom's where it's all happening, yeah. So Merville's relegation was confirmed. They're on 11 points. Then when you come down to it for the playoff spot, Clifton had a big win there a couple of weeks ago. So you're looking at one team's going to go down and one team's going to go into a playoff between Ballymote, Aachen, Arrow Harps and Rail Tubber. So Ballymote on, they've all played the same games, two games left each. Ballymote on 17, Aachen on 18, Arrow Harps on 20 and Rail Tubber on 21. And there's a couple of big games down there. I think Arrow Harps play Aachen this weekend. So there's, it's as I say, one will get relegated, one will go into a relegation playoff. So I suppose we discuss the fixtures later on. But yeah, it's the business time. There's 2 weeks basically left of the leagues, and both leagues will be decided in the next couple of weeks.
So I suppose, unfortunately, from your point of view, we're expecting Kirby to lift the title this weekend.
Look, it went like whatever chance he had of him dropping points once, it'll never happen twice. We kind of the day, they beat us that day. I think that was the day whoever won that game, I think was going to go on and win the league. Disappointing for our end, but I hear a lot of stuff of Caterham will never beat Kirby, or Caterham will never catch Kirby. This is only our second full season in Super League. We came third the first year. If we get a point in our last game, we're going to finish second. Now, obviously, I'm biased towards our club. Do you know what I mean? I got a bit of grief on the night we were playing Strand about us.
All right.
That we never catch anybody or win a league. This is our second full season in the league. I think people forget that sometimes. Because we've probably got to a couple of cup finals and, we have brought it to two games to go here, It's a pity we couldn't bring it to the last day. I thought the league deserved it.
Because I know back, February time, there was great excitement. And then I suppose it kind of died down after Kirby did beat Caterham.
Yeah.
So,
and then, obviously, we had had to play Strand, who were obviously in serious form as well.
Huge form. So it would have been great excitement, yeah. Well, if it had gone to the last day, but it's not going to be. Seem unless Raf Katera puts on a show.
Merv will have to put on a show as well. It's the only thing.
Merv,
they need to lose. They need to drop points in
oh, sorry. Yes, yeah. Yes.
No, fair play. Look, I'm not going to. I'm not even. This isn't psychological warfare, but again, they're deserved champions. To beat us twice, they deserve to. Yeah.
So it'll be 5 in a row.
5 in a row for Kirby. It's for
no mean feat at all.
To keep going back and doing it every year is very, very impressive.
Okay,
no matter what the level.
Yeah, it's excellent. Talking about a league that may be over this weekend, the Premier League is gone nuts again. That's just craziness down there.
It won't be over this weekend anyway. There'll be nothing decided.
No,
actually, how do they look at it? No, it won't be.
Our beloved Chaffpool are still on the road.
Our beloved Chaffpool are 2 points off the playoff place.
Genie.
They're actually only 4 points off on a manic promotion place. So we'll just go through it quickly. Colliery probably have the edge at the minute. They're top of the league on 38 points. They've all played the same games. So Johns are a point behind on 37. Clanny are 2 points behind that on 35. And then Chaffield are a further 2 points back on 33. So still a lot to play for there between relegation, between the playoff spot and the automatic promotion spots. And in 2 weeks' time, Colliery and St John's have to play each other.
Where do you get fucked off to if you're in bottom of the Premier League? If you're relegated from that?
Well, back in the old days in the League of Ireland, you had to get re-elected.
The same newspaper, Division 1.
The old Division 1. There used to be three. Four when I started as well. Oh. A couple more clubs come into the league. You could be looking at three divisions again. Like, we've 2 full 12s at the minute.
It's 24, yeah.
You could probably go to 12 and 14 maybe. That's probably the max you'd have to be looking at. You would have to look at probably three divisions then.
12 is the max, definitely. For local
probably,
league.
You're probably right.
22. But
then, you see, if to split it... Maybe, so if you got to 26 clubs, you could probably have, 10-8-8, maybe?
Or would that be too little then?
No, there used to, another bottom division used to be 8 for a while, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
It just probably
14 games. Which 14 games is a huge one then.
The only thing I'd say is, I was just about to, like, usually, you know, at the bottom of the Premier League, there'd be a big chasm.
There's now, not.
Granted, there's a points chasm, but I'd say if you look at all them bottom three teams, Ben Bulbin, Valley Rovers, Drumahair, Gershon, they've all beaten
someone. Ben Bulbin, Beclani, yeah. Valley hammered someone.
Valley hammered St. John's.
Yeah.
Gershon, Beccaldry, do you know? So Drumahair, Beccaldry. Like, it's
great stuff.
Yeah.
Sorry, what's going to happen up to, we got distracted there.
Yeah, so basically, you got Curry lead by a point, St. John's second on 37. Clanny are two further back, and then Chatfield are two further back at them. So there's actually more teams have three games left to play in that league, whereas Super League, it's a bit cleaner. There's only two. As far as I'm aware, St. John's and Corrie play each other the last day of the season.
That'll be a humdinger.
That'll be an absolute humdinger.
Where is that supposed to be?
That would be in Corrie.
Oh, wow. It would be in Hazelwood on the grass. That we slow.
I thought I read that in an email the other day. I hope that's true. So anyway, we'll run through this weekend's fixtures.
Do.
For your predictions. So in the Super League, Manor Rangers home to Cliffney.
Oh, sorry. That 2-0 to Manor Rangers.
Yeah. The big one down the bottom, Arrow Harps and Aachen.
That is a big one. Stalemate. Nil each.
Yeah, that's a good shout. Tubber at home to Carberry.
The pressure's going to get to Carberry this weekend. Raf is limbered up. Live show. 1-0 to Real Tubber. Raf with a header.
Raf with a header. Right. Merville at home to Ballysadare.
You don't know what kind of team Merville can put out like from one week to the other. Yeah. I go back to when they played Carberry last year towards the end of the season, betting
3-0. Yeah, yeah. They've had some good results.
They have, yeah. It's very strange, I don't know. I'd give them a little nod for 2-1.
And then MCR at home to Ballymote. Your beloved MCR, I should say. You love MCR.
Real Coach Road, yeah. MCR, Ballymote, at 3-0 to MCR.
Right, Premier League.
Never with two.
Clanny at home to Ballygawley.
Yeah, everything points towards Killarney 3-0.
3-0, yeah. Chatfield at home to St. John's. Oh, that's a big game.
That is a big game. St. John's won't like going out of the borough.
That might be my Sunday morning game.
To Chatfield. You'll be back for the live the commentary. Oh, right. You're not going out.
Good point.
You're not going out to Bunnadden. Chatfield and Bunnadden, nothing easy there. 1-0 to Chatfield.
1-0. Who'll score?
Hugh Maron.
That'll make him bring Hugh to 24 goals for the season. Then at 2:30 we have Carrick at home to Enniscrone.
Yeah, that's the one that everyone's been talking about all week. It should hard to separate them. It'll be 2-2, I think.
Corrie at home to Ben Bulbin.
4-0 Corrie.
And then Valley Rovers at home to Gershon.
1-1.
And are you going to make a prediction in the big Connacht Cup game?
I don't know. That and Rye obviously this massive pedigree, so you don't know. But Strandon flying for him. I think it'd be an absolute cracker. I'm going to go 3-3, and I don't know who's going to win next time with penalties. Right, we'll quickly switch to the Rovers, Murty. We'll go to the women first. They got their first win down in Cork. Jeremy McGuinness and Emma Doherty with the goals. You were saying Emma Doherty's only 17 years old?
Yeah, I hope I have that right now. But no, I think I went to the first game. Was that before? Have we had a pod since? I went to the first. No, I don't think we have, because I went to that game against DL Aura Waves in the Showgrounds. That would have been after our last
first one. Yes, yeah, they did play Piemont.
But I was, very impressed by them now in that game. And like, I know DL Aura would be quite strong. And then, yeah, look, as a member of the coaching staff said to me at the weekend, anytime Rovers go down to Cork and get a result, it's a good result.
And
it's fantastic to get off the mark so early.
Be it Turner's Cross or Porky Queeve or the Mardyke. I'm just thinking of places in Cork, really.
Musgrave Park.
Yeah. Many victories down there, Ross?
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. There you go.
So 2-1 win, and they're off the mark early enough. Because they've had the two best teams probably play. No, I don't know who joined for today, but the two teams you'd know the names of. And you play Bulls on Bulls this Saturday
in the Showgrounds, at 2:00. So I think they got 945 for the first game. So I'd say they'd be hoping to get a few more of them back. Weather's picking up and all that. Fair play to them. Great win down there.
Yep. So well done to the Rovers women. They're off the mark. Good start continues for the men. Although, a 2-2 draw on Tala.
Never a bad result,
but when you're 2-0 I suppose it makes it look a little bit different. But it's been a really impressive start, Marty. Yeah. What was your feeling on the game on Friday?
I suppose, like, look, we were lucky to be 2-0 up at half time. It has to be said, two great goals. Fitzgerald and Keane is on fire again. Actually, I suppose last Monday Rovers comprehensively.
Sorry, yeah, that was the last one. Yeah,
Keane got a hat trick. Yeah, we actually, Keane was still 40-1 and running for the top.
I've seen there was a tweet put up about
that. Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
So a few of us struck there when he'd had the hat trick. Yeah, great win at home then. Not that it was a free hit, a chance.
I thought Finn Herbst were actually probably for the first 20 minutes, no, they played this long ball.
Yeah, yeah.
For the first 20 minutes, Rovers didn't really do much and then they just struck. And that was, excuse me, that was kind of it. I was disappointed conceded though.
There was, yeah. And you know, there was a kind of moment there where Herbst had a half chance at 3-1.
Mm.
You know, but anyway, I thought it was comprehensive that game, but it was just.
It was the first goal in it was a scrap, very scrappy for scrappy, until that goal, and then
the pitch probably still not helping us.
It probably helped Herbst, I thought.
Yeah, probably would have helped Herbst. It was better.
Yeah, it was actually. Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's still, yeah. Hopefully now there's a good break on until that game on the 2nd of April. So hopefully that.
The women are playing this weekend.
The women are playing on this Saturday. Yeah, fair point.
But
anyway, yeah, Friday night. Yeah, 2-0 up at half time. You're buzzing. I'd say half the time we're singing we're going to win the league. look, Ed had a great first half. Sharms had a lot of the play. Then they come out in the second half. The penalty, do the Rovers get that penalty in Tala?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think they do either. And then look, it was just total backs against the wall. Once it got to 2-1, it was going to be really hard to keep it at 2-all, or to keep it at 2-1. Sorry. And yeah, they scored it 10 minutes ago, and then like even in the last 10 minutes, Ed makes a couple of great saves.
I seen someone made a good point. I agree with it, because I was thinking to myself, if Greg Bulger was there, he might have just took the sting out again. Out of the cuteness.
Go down, take your five, couple of minutes here, couple of minutes there. Yeah, in a game like that, especially up there against them, like, it was probably a bigger game for them than it was for us. Like if they lose to us, they're 4 points behind and we've been in hand. Do you know? I know it's very early.
They still didn't get any points at home against them, which they would have. I'd say they'd always marked down as 3 points.
There's a bit of a top four or five developing at the minute, and we played all of them and. We've played Pats, Shams and Derry away and none of them have beat us.
Yeah, that's true. Very true.
To me during the week, they've had 3 draws. That's the same as 1 win. If you have 3 draws against the bottom 3, fair enough. But not against teams that
away from home.
Direct rivals, away from home.
Well, hopefully now the pitch, sorry not to bring the pitch, but hopefully it doesn't backfire now when we actually suffer at home with the bad pitch against these teams. But I suppose, look, Shams want to play football and Pats, so it might be the same for them.
Yeah. Hopefully now, just the weather's been, obviously, we were commenting how good the weather was here today, so... Positively balmy is right. So hopefully now, even then, after the women's game Saturday, you'll have another full week of recovery on it as well. So positive. It's very positive. It's a great start.
A bit of Atletico Madrid shithousing went astray now.
That's what I think you missed Bulger for there.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Did you see that stat that the game, the ball's only in play for 11 minutes of the last half hour and no traffic?
Yeah.
That's absolutely not 19 minutes.
The United players were so
that's crazy.
They were so rattled, the United players.
That's what you need. That bit of shit.
Yeah, but look, 3 wins, 3 draws.
Oh, it's excellent. And yeah, it's the unbeaten 3 wins. And as you said, the results away from home, especially, kind of stand
exactly,
out.
Exactly, yeah. So we've 3 home games in a row now.
Rattle them off to me, Ronan.
Home to Shelburne, UCD, Bowes. I can't give you the exact order right now. I think UCD is in the middle, as far as I know.
Yeah.
That's the rearranged Bowes.
7 points. It'll be a nice return from that now.
7 points or 9 points,
yeah.
We're not getting too far ahead of ourselves.
I know.
I think Bowes have had a crap, or sorry, Bowes have had a shit start, so I went from crap.
Apologize.
Fucking terrible.
I'm taking over Ross's eyes.
My language isn't good, so
apologize for crap and then say shit.
Shit. Why was I apologizing anyway?
For crap.
The only if we called out on Twitter for calling the performance crap, like.
Bulls are coming after me.
Yeah.
Matty Kirk.
crap.
So,
I'm kind of fascinated by the whole Damien Duff thing. He's so angry, really. Fuck.
He is.
So you had them throw the jerseys into the crowd against Bulls. See that? After the 1-1 draw. He made the players go to the fans and throw their jerseys in, like, to celebrate. And they'll be like, get it up, yeah, the 1-0 draw in Daly Mount. Yeah, and then they lose at home, train into Herbst then next week. He'll be gone. Someone else tweeted out, he will be gone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's good riddance, because he's grumpy. To attack him with the sleeping giant, like.
Yeah, well, Shelburne.
Yeah.
Nonsense,
yeah.
I seen, Shelburne were playing Bowes in Daly Mount last week.
Yeah.
There was 900 away tickets. And at 6 o'clock on the Friday, it's a mile up the road.
Hmm.
Literally, it's like me walking from my apartment to the shoulder. A bit further.
John Conn did a physical, like.
Yeah. It's a mile. Between two grounds, it's a mile. And they couldn't sell out 900 tickets. Yeah. And you're telling me they're a sleeping giant.
And they were throwing these jerseys into the crowd and all, blah, blah. Yeah.
I mean,
Yeah. That's Damien Duff interview at the window. What's the rest coming? You were trying to line up for us, sorry.
We're going to play an audio clip for you here, Damien. I'd like to hear it.
If we were offered kind of a Damien Duff interview, we were, but we might have the chit to run and check him that.
No, there was a lot of pints on board. I haven't
talked to that man since.
I haven't talked to him since.
So things are. One last thing. What's the fascination with taking arms off when you draw games away from home? I would have took your arm off before the game. Where did that saying come from? Why would you take someone's arm?
Bite your hand off.
Bite your hand off.
Take your arm, yeah. I don't know. Good question.
Yeah, just fascinating me. It's always after draws away from home where you cut a one.
If you unreal someone off something before a match, you don't say anything. You just nibbling on his arm. Like.
I told you to take your arm off. But things are good weekend overall for the Bit of Red, women's and men. And I think there was a few youth games on. I need to get to a few of them, but there were awkward time yesterday. I know that.
So the 19s were a good thing.
Was it the 19s who played Shams yesterday? Yeah, 3-2, they lost. Shooter, a good friend of the pod.
Yeah, Shooter reckoned the 19s were a good team. The 15s were playing there one day. I drove by as well and was going to win, but then had something else to do. So, yeah, I must try and get to a few more. I'd say the standard of them leagues are very good.
Well, they're the best players at that age, around the level. So, yep, very good. Roscoe, we'll come back to you with rugby.
Yes, sir.
5, 6, 7 yards. The great
bullock
of a man, this
fella. Okay, Ross. Since we're last here,
in my sitting room.
Yeah, you're back on the pitch again for the AIG clash against Blackrock. You welcome Blackrock and two ex Sligo men to Hampden Park, and unfortunately, it was yet another defeat, Roscoe.
Yeah,
so a disappointing day. 31-13 to Blackrock.
Yes.
Talk us through it.
So look, it was a really tough game. There's been no easy games for us this season. Very competitive league. We played very well in the first half, and we were well in the game at half time. We defended quite well, scored a really good try. Our lineout kind of didn't function well. Blackrock probably played the conditions a little bit better, and you know, I think we were worn down a little bit, and then they kind of broke free towards the end of the game with some good tries. Now the first try they scored was a really good try as well. So. I suppose that really puts Blackrock firmly in the hunt for the top four, and unfortunately our aspirations of the playoffs now, that's finally put to bed now mathematically. We won't be able to break into that top four, kind of in a bit of a limbo now. I think we're fairly safe now from finishing in the bottom two either. We're in sixth place now on 34 points, three games left to play. Ballinar ninth on 22 points, and Galwegians are at 10th on 11 points. So basically what happens now with the bottom two teams, Malahide are 8th on 23 points, so 1 point between them and Ballina, so they're going to have a bit of a dogfight there for those bottom two spots.
How many points are you on again, sorry?
Pardon?
How many points are you on again? 34,
yeah. 34. So basically what happens at the bottom two is they play each other home and away, and it's score aggregate.
Aggregate, love that,
Love that. It's a wild one, isn't it?
Playing a minor B championship game against Bundaden over score aggregate. The barrel Kieran Donald was reffing, and there was wild scenes in the second game when the scores weren't totted up properly.
Yeah.
Did you win?
We drew the first game, so the permutation should have been very simple for the second game, but yeah. We end up winning, but I don't think we won. We end up winning to be challenger that year. But anyways, sorry Ross.
So that's the situation now. In the Blackrock game, there were some positives, there was a massive individual performances. Ross Hickey, who's been in serious form this side of the season, and he's getting a lot of games in a row, which is, the more he plays, the better Ross performs. He was our man of the match, voted by the players. Ryan Feely scored an individual effort, as per usual. He does the individual efforts, he does the team efforts, and then Hubert Clavari finished off a nice break from Guilherme. So there was some good attacking prowess. Ewan Brown, usually so accurate with the boot, and you could put your house on him. He just had a bit of an off day with a couple of kicks. Now, none of them were gimme kicks, but I suppose with Ewan, his kicking is so good. You think nearly every kick is a gimme kick with him. So potentially we could have been in the hunt there. We were in the hunt into the last 15 minutes, but Blackrock were fully deserved for their team, for their victory. And
it's a bit of power, Dad.
They had a bit of power now. The two ex-Sligo lads now, they're two hefty lads. They're adding a lot of considerable bulk to that Blackrock. And I don't mean that in an insulting way. They're just two big units, add a lot of thing. And Blackrock really played a real old-fashioned kind of style with their pack, really focused on the set piece, the scrum. And then they had a couple of backs with a bit of polish, and they scored some nice tries. It has been a tough second half of the season. We've used a lot of players. We've had injuries, but we have to realise as well. I suppose at Christmas we got really excited. the top four was looking like, you know, we were second going into Christmas, and probably thought we were a bit further ahead than we were. We had to appreciate we had a new coaching ticket in, a lot of new players in, a lot of new young players coming through as well. So it'll stand to us for next season. A very tough league. We have three tough games left. We're going to Malahide this weekend. Now, Malahide fighting for their lives. Okay, so like that's an absolute must-win game for them. And we've done Gannon at home the following week, which is our last home game of the season. And then we go away to Wanderers, who are fifth at the moment, who will be fighting for the last day. So, like, arguably, Dungannon will know if they lose next week as well that they could potentially dragged into that bottom two. So three really tough games left, and it'll just be an opportunity for us to put a positive note onto the season, and, you know, for us to really, you know, get something out of it and get a bit of momentum for next season, and we'll rebuild and get ready for pre-season.
I have to give a shout to the two Sligo boys who did come in, Kieran Cassidy and Matthew Cosgrove playing Black Rock. I was at the game. I didn't even notice Kieran Cassidy scored a hat-trick.
Yeah,
that's outrageous.
And the same thing as well, I was watching the game as well, and it was only when I was told it in the clubhouse afterwards as well.
Didn't notice it at all.
Yeah.
And like, you were obviously watching out from the whole game because he is a Sligo lad, so that's crazy. After Cosgrove was number 80, he had a 50-22.
Yeah.
So they really rubbed the salt in the wounds. So
the boys put on a performance now, it fucking breaks your heart, you know, but if they put in a good professional performance. They were obviously up against their home club and knew the eyes would be on them, but they stood up to it. And I think Blackrock were probably hurting from that last minute victory we had against them up in Stradbrook.
There's Cosgrove now with his divided loyalties. He'd done a fair celebration when they scored the first try. Blackrock. Yeah,
it wasn't very valid, was it?
No. Yeah, there's fist pumping going on inside, no hot.
Yeah. Look, you support your son's team.
You do, yeah. And continued sponsorship of the club is well appreciated. But that's all you said. The ladies are playing, are
the ladies are playing at the weekend now. So this is our first season with the resurrected ladies team. And they,
my nickname, no.
Not yet. Okay. Not yet. I'm not even going to try and put one on. I'm not putting the nickname on them.
Well, you put the seagulls on the fucking
lads. Yeah, the third. So they got a day out in the sports grounds last week. They lost 20-17 to Westport. Now Westport are a fairly established team in that league. It's like they were winning it, and they were actually pushing for AIL recently enough.
Oh, right.
So it's and I know a lot of the Westport players, they moved on to Galwegians, but they're still a pretty good outfit. They've been, you know, they're established.
Was that kind of initiative to get their women's team games in the sports? It wasn't. It wasn't a special cup game.
It's the plate leg. So obviously the junior cup, then you play similar to what our juniors are in this Sunday against Ballinasloe. So they actually.
Jeez, that sounds like a humdinger.
So basically, I'll finish off on the ladies first of all. They were 17-15 up, probably with about, I'd say, 10 minutes to go. They were looking really well, and I think Westport scored a try to put them 20-17 in front, but Sligo were attacking the line in the last play of the game, and then a penalty were awarded against them, and Westport kicked it out. But huge pressure, and like, just really nice for the squad. They ended up having 30 players this season that they used. 11 players was their first time playing rugby in general. It's just a really good experience for them. I know they didn't get the trophy, but like to get a medal in the sports grounds presented to you after playing a match will really stand to them, and hopefully it gives them an appetite to come back next year. And the other big thing as well is our under 18 ladies actually had a 45-0 win against Clare Morris in the semi final of their cup competition. So there's a fantastic crop of girls coming through from the under 18. So
great stuff.
Really good things happening there, and shout out to Guilherme Coghetto who's been coaching them, and Cathy Mills and Jean McConnell who've been looking after them. So thanks for the hard work, and to the girls, you'll be back bigger and better next year. What has happened? Okay, the Grammar.
Your beloved Grammar, Ross, picked up yet another senior cup.
Another senior cup, yeah.
How many is that?
I don't know how many it is exactly, but it was their first one now in a couple of years.
You captained the Grammar School in the senior cup final, Ross?
Yes, I did. Adrian, against the Jez. So I suppose,
a repeat of last week's final.
Yeah. So I suppose that was nice for them to get one over in the Jez. So Jez also bet Summerhill in that year, 3 years ago, and I was coaching in the final. So the Jez are a bit of a bogey team for me. So I was happy to see them get bet, because they were, by all accords, the big favourites going into it, and talked themselves up quite big. And Grammar just really I don't think too many real individual players, like, they just played as a real team.
Dug out every game of the season.
Dug out. Their defence has been serious, like, and I was talking to Jimmy Gavin, their head coach, after the match, and he was just telling me it's defence, defence, defence. They stuck in there. I think Jez had the lion's share of the possession, And that sports ground is always a ridiculous wind, like, you know, it's always a game of two halves there, so they really stuck in it. I think they turned over a lot of ball on the line, the Grammar, they defended, and then they took their chance and they scored a try in the last play of the game to win it 15-10. So, you know, well done to them, lads. Nice feeling to get a senior cup, something they'll remember forever. And also, shout out to AJ McHale, who was on commentary duty, Ocean FM, so it was good to hear old age on the comms. He did a great job. So well done to Jimmy Gavin and the lads on a senior cup.
Could I just to stick on the Grammar for a second, Ross? There was a tweet up from Ocean FM just before the game with the Grammar song, Ronan. The chant. You've seen a tweet that Ocean FM the game. What could you just relay that?
That was after my time that chant came in. I'm not really sure what it's about, to be honest with you.
What was the chant?
Or When We Die or something, isn't it?
When We Die.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
we'll get someone in to give us.
There's someone attuned to it because it just.
They do a thing, they get into a huddle, right?
Read it out there, just what the words. Yeah, it's usually the room.
Usually it's quite cool to look at. They get a huddle and they.
The players
all duck down when the man in the middle shouts it out and then he ducks down, the players all stand up. It's a synchronised kind of a chant, but.
What are the words there, Oscar? Or do you? It should be in the podcast WhatsApp group.
Was it a tweet link, though?
It was no, it's just a tweet, I think.
I will say something, though. A good chant really can galvanise the team. Gives you some nice momentum before and after matches.
No sign? Okay.
We'll find that. Martin, come back to me. I've got one or two other things to keep looking there.
Yeah,
so,
Do find that.
Before we go on to the Ireland match, I've got a shout out to Tom Gormley, the Killarney man, played for the Irish clubs selection last week in Rugby League. So he is...
very good.
Yeah, he's hoping to now. He's not. They're not far off the name in the final squad for this set of series coming up. Like so, he's in with a fighter's chance of making it.
Where does the belt Tom play in rugby league?
Look, I wouldn't say I know the position's off. Like you'd assume a prop, wouldn't you as well? But probably not. I'm not sure.
The prop in rugby league is kind of he's non-stop.
Yeah.
Yeah,
ball carrier. Well, probably second.
Yeah.
So I had this.
Thing. Oh, good. Yeah.
Give it a chance. Yeah.
So let's see it there. Sorry.
I wonder does it start to like the tune of When
We Die?
I'll
repeat it. So this is the Grammar's chant, okay?
Yeah. Oh, when we die.
Oh, when we die.
Let it be seen.
Let it be seen.
We're 15 strong.
We're 15 strong.
Our name goes on.
Our name goes on.
And then
the Grammar. Is that it?
It's up there in the top 5 worst chants I've ever heard.
Never be. Give me an S. Give me an Umber Hill. Very good. So that's cool.
And actually, no, it's a bit bad. I think Grammar bet Summer Hill in the Junior Cup semi final.
Sorry, I missed that as well. Yeah,
in the rugby job.
Pardon? What that finished? It was tight that game. Wasn't it?
It was tight. Yeah, it was one score in it.
It was a landslide without their working rarely, and I just didn't get out to it. So the bragging rights off schools rugby is up the mall.
Up the mall. Yes,
for the Grammar. The country is in hysterics about this Triple Crown, Ross. Everyone's talking about it. You tuck it in. Tell us about the Aviva on Saturday.
Look, we spoke about it earlier. The atmosphere was good. I was at the Wells match earlier in the year, and I just thought it was really flat and nerd, you know. And like I've been at matches over the last couple of years there, and it is really flat. But there was actually just a good buzz around the place. I think everyone was just enjoying the good weather as well, and. The match was actually brutal, I thought myself.
But Ireland were poor. I thought Ireland were very poor. I know 16-20.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Yeah, but that Scotland team were brutal. Sorry, they played well, but like the Scotland team are the best team in the world. We're always talking about the positives, and they're losing every week, and you know they always say it's a great performance. But
I think they went heavy on them this week now. I think this week they actually went heavy badly on them.
But the coaches came out afterwards and said Duggar Townsend, oh, it was the best week training we had. No, the lads went on the bear the week before. I heard a WhatsApp of what happened earlier, some Scottish voiced WhatsApp voice message about what happened.
Really?
Yeah. So basically they were all
Connery.
Yeah. It was Ali Price's 50th game, so they had a few beers on the plane coming
Tingled,
back.
What's his name?
So Dan Bigger. Finn Russell
be trusted.
So this would happen. So Finn Russell took the piss completely. So that was supposedly they all got back in Edinburgh. They were drinking on the plane, and they said they go into town. And I think some of the backroom team said, "Lads, you know it's a down week. You've a recovery day tomorrow. You know it's not on the itinerary for the week to go out for beers. You go out for beers next week." So I think. Six players they all went out regardless anyway, so about an hour into the night they got a phone call saying, "Listen lads, if you're not back here in the hotel in an hour you're all dropped," and that's it. So five of them come back and then the next morning anyways they had the recovery session at 11 in the morning, no sign of Finn Russell, was supposedly he went back to stay with the parents that night. That was what he didn't turn up for the team session.
Some sort of COVID bridge last year as well, though.
Yeah, no, he was out as well. Like, he's meant to be a bit of a character.
Well, yeah, there was on. I think it was off the ball listen today, and their question was, can Finn Russell be trusted?
No, obviously not.
Probably not. That's it. Right, lad. So the game was kind of
It wasn't great.
That's a good complaint, isn't it?
The thing is, right, as I think, to get that win of putting that much points on them and not be happy with the performance, right, is a good sign. Against England, they did some really good things. I know the scrum was the big flashpoint afterwards, but the World Rugby came out and acknowledged that a couple of them penalties probably should have gone the other way around, that England were wheeling the ball and that it should have been scrum resets or that they were actually pouring in. Yeah, so look, Joe Marley, yeah. Seven was on his mind. So the England game was obviously a lot of, they got the win there as well. The Italy game, I don't think they were brilliant against Italy as well. But the thing is, probably happy not to the Grand Slam because, if it's happened to us before in the World Cup year, you think you're unreal. So let the French have it. Let them go in there as the favourites and see how that pressure...
Jouer.
No, they were very impressive, that said. But you still know that there's a wobbler in them. Wales should have bet them last week.
Yeah.
Should have bet them, comfortably should have bet them. They just butchered so many chances to score. Look, Ireland's been good. They've brought in some new players. I love Mac Hansen now, and James Lowe has been rejuvenated this year as well, and Conway is playing the best football. So I think we've got some really good attacking players. Now, we are actually playing attacking rugby. We didn't score anything free-flowing at the weekend, and we're only about two or three line breaks compared to other weeks, but Hugo Keenan's getting better at every single game again, is tackling to the corner. Now, Stuart Hogg as well, 2v1, should have passed it inside, and it would have been 14-12 at that stage. Yeah. Sexton's such a rat. He came over to him, patting on the back. What's the score, mate? What's the score?
Lovely stuff.
Yeah, but
enjoyed the Italians I went
out of there. I was going to shout out to our Italian cousins. That's my last thing. Brilliant win. I roared. I got up in the chair when I got it.
You see, Josh Adams gave the medal to him.
Nice touch.
Yeah.
Oh, soft. The man scoring the try and to Ness and Dorman, I got me tingling now on Saturday night after the 2 heavy days in the beer.
Ness and Dorman is just the powerhouse. Love it.
Used to request that Notion FM when I was on it.
We should try and finish off the show to it at some stage. But as I said, it's going to be the trip to New Zealand will be class.
Summer tour, the best tour
you could have at this time of the year. Go over there, bring 10 fellas that you give them, throw them in the deep end into the frying pan, see how they react, build a bit of squad depth. I think we're looking pretty good around the squad. I don't think they trust Carberry still. When you bring him on 5 minutes to go, you should be giving him 20 minutes. You put him in there under pressure. The more times he's in there in pressure situations, the better it's going to be for him. And they still wouldn't take Sexton off the weekend. They put him in a fullback, So that's just, there still is a little bit of worry there about your second choice 10. Props, I think, is our big issue now. I think that's the biggest issue at the moment is the second choice and third choice props. If Porter and Furlong are to go out, I don't think that... I don't think that Healy and Kilcoyne and our beloved Finlay are world class or World Cup winning caliber, especially against big South African packs or the French props and monsters. So I think that's, we need to go off and unearth a couple of big old whores to blood them in over the next 18 months. But under 20s, finish on that.
Grand
Slam. Positive, yeah. A very impressive Grand Slam performance as well. Playing good rugby there, Richie Murphy's side, and some quality players that he reckon will come through into that senior team in the next couple of years. So it's a lot better place Irish rugby than it was 2 years ago.
Very good. Good weekend for the Ruddy Show me here.
No, Burke has a bet on Addo Den Haag tonight. No, sorry, yeah, Addo Den Haag against Telstar. But he's after sending me on a picture, he's like, Ronald Koeman's in goals for Telstar. This could be anything. So I was like, obviously it's not the actual Ronald Koeman, but turns out it's the son. Don't lie him, is there?
No, I thought it was some lovely. I thought it was Finn Russell.
Sorry, yeah, that was just.
Finn nickname's White Chocolate.
White Chocolate,
chocolate,
lovely. On that, we'll come back with a wee wrap up for the G here.
Chance here for Jesse Sloane. Can he score? Yes! Sloane goal!
Okay, it was a very busy last few days, actually, in the GA scene, county wide. Actually, the underage. Minor leagues kicked off. Club yesterday, that kind of snuck up completely. Yeah. I only found out on Sunday, and under 15, I think, starts this Thursday. So it's all going now again, and the fixtures are out for the first rounds of them warm-up competitions.
When's that?
First week of April. And the league fixtures are actually out as well. So, yeah, it's all go. People can plan their next few weeks of matches. I think we have Corey in the first one, a big tussle between us two.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Prepare for the luck.
We won't be talking to each other for the week of that before the big North Division round one more of the game.
I'm all about this. This is the new championship.
This is the real championship.
There's no like facing off like North versus South.
Just the winners of each, the top two go to the final in each division. It's not like, remember the old junior championship actually, where it was North, South, East, and then went to the junior championship. Yeah, yeah. That was good, yeah. I played a game one year with fucking Eugene McHale, corner forward for Grange. What age is he like?
Get a few years on it.
Yeah. Anyways, so we're going to start with the Footballers. Since we were last on, they had that very comprehensive win against London. I thought they would win by around 12 or 13. The one by 20-something, I thought they would, the firepower they had with London. But so it went away from that in quite good form from Merkridge Park until got the result in from... You were there, Roscoe.
I was there, yeah. Enjoyed it.
Where, Cavan?
No. The London game.
No, I did my part.
At the London game, it was like, that was at 12 o'clock, went away, and Cavan were beaten by Tip at home. So that put a massive dampener on the mood. It took it out of our hands for promotion. So it went into this weekend, and then Cavan actually only... They played earlier
by London
by a point, which even makes it a bit more sickening again.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Sligo's score difference is so good. I know it goes head to head, so but if teams were joined, it might end. But so Cavan are promoted and Tip, it's in their hands now. They play London next Saturday.
But where Cavan then?
Cavan are playing Carlow. Anyways, we had to do the business yesterday to bring it to the last day and bet Waterford by 15 points to 111. In Fraher Field, got a few complaints from a few people at the game that goose shit was all over the pitch.
Jesus,
one of the worst intercounty pitches I've seen in a while, they said. So,
is Fraher Field in Dungarvan?
Walsh Park is the main ground, and that's over there. Yeah, Fraher Field.
Fraher Field in Dungarvan, I think, which is right on the sea there.
Very specific that it's goose shit.
Goose shit, yeah. So the geese must have flocked in from the bay in Dungarvan.
It's that time of year, lads. It's that time of year.
Yeah, I've had a few instances of goose shit myself in the past. Our old soccer pitch for Clare Rovers and Lachine used to be peppered with goose shit, and we'd go clear it one Saturday for a Sunday game. The game couldn't have been played if the goose shit wasn't lifted. It must be some special. Anyways,
that's
I would pepper dashed in goose shit. Sorry, but yeah, that was the complaint. The pitch wasn't in great nick, but a strange game. Sligo looked under pressure, and Niall Murphy missing, of course, is big. Pat Hughes is out as well for a while, and Eddie McGinnis is still out. I know Peter Laffey got back in the bench. Pat Spillane also still out. So they were going down there without a few other big hitters, but and Waterford started very well and were in a 5-point lead. They got a man sent off then, and Sligo just reeled them in. Carabine again kicked off, was kicking the points over.
He was quality in that London game.
Very good, yeah.
Good player, yeah.
Very good. He's getting better every game. He seems to be.
He's just being sorry, nearly every week there's red cards.
There's a lot. Well, this is when we get to next. There's a red card there, and then Waterford ended with 11 players.
Yeah.
And by my man who was down at the game, reckons they could have ended with even less. Jesus. Said the ref could have given them a few more black cards and didn't in the closing stages. Maybe he felt sorry for him. No, I know he threw three or four. But, Sligo didn't start overly well, they said, and gave away a few frees. But when they got momentum, things went better in the second half, obviously, and clipped over a few points. I think Nathan Rooney done well when he came on as well off the bench. So it was a good win to get, because it would have been a real disappointment after picking up whatever points we have to not go down and beat Waterford, who, although the tip of the weekend, why I said Waterford plus four might be a good shout.
Yeah, yeah. No, plus four was.
And it came in, obviously, because if you look at Waterford's standing in the league, they may be down the bottom, but their score difference shows that they've only lost a few games. Like, they only lost by a point, obviously, Sligo. I think a point to Wexford the week
five
four.
Five games and they're minus 14.
Yeah, so
by 2 to 3.
2 to 3 points each game, so they're not that bad. To go down there wasn't a bad win at all with the personnel down, and obviously it gives the fellas who come in a chance to impress. I know Kenny Gavin got probably his most time in a Sligo jersey. He came on after around 36 minutes to Tour de Stramming for it, so it's good for him as well. And Nathan Rooney back in the side too. So anyways, looking forward to this weekend. It's Leitrim at home. It's a pity it's not a... It's just a pity that Tip pay Cavan,
because
it would be an absolute crack of a game. Winner takes all promotion. Yeah, it is. It would have been like, because, you know, are either of us going to get to the Connacht final? Probably not. Maybe not. Probably not. I don't know. And then the Tarleton Cup. So this is...
Yeah, this is...
It would have been a great one. Now, it's still have to go and win it and hope that London do you a favour. But the thing is, with London game, it's on the night before.
That's great. I only found that out when we came out here.
So Tipper disgrace. Playing London on Saturday, every game should be at the same time, the last round of the league.
Even if they had to play Sligo here at 12 o'clock on Sunday.
Yeah.
I know Tip have to get home.
If Tip win, it's in Tip.
What's in Tip?
London have to get home.
London have to get home,
But if Tip win on Saturday, it makes the Leitrim game, which should be one of the biggest games in the whole country,
Irrelevant.
A dead rubber. But anyways, we'll go to that next week and hopefully Sligo win. So that's the seniors. We'll just go to the underage very quickly. The 20s were in the Philly McGuinness Philly McGuinness Cup final or league final, whatever you want to call it, against Westmeath. That was on St. Patrick's Day, 2 o'clock. And they lost to Westmeath 4-11 to 2-14. So only 3 points at the end. Now, they were well down at one stage. They were 8 points down. I think they were 2-7-8 down. Or no, 2-7-5 down, sorry.
Sounds like a cracker now.
But they got back with a few good scores and a few goals later on, but then Westmeath pulled away yet again. That's the team who will be in championship action in 3 weeks' time against Roscommon yet again, I believe. Hopefully can pick up a win there. It's a few years since the 20s had a win, so it'd be great to get a win against Roscommon there. Obviously, there's good signs. They won all their group games and that, and only for a slow start, it seems, in Beacon on Patrick's Day, Thursday. It was Thursday, St. Patrick's Day. They won't be too far away. The Miners got their first win in the Ulster Development League. They beat Fermanagh 3-8-2-6. Definitely a game of two halves because they were well on top. I'm not sure, I didn't get any reports, I just got the scoreline here. Because they were well on top early and Fermanagh made a bit of a rally, but a 5-point win for the under 17s managed by David Caffrey there. Our hurlers are into the Division 2B Alliance League semi-finalists. Their first year up this high in the league. It's the highest they've ever been, and they're into the semi-finals. They played Donegal and that. They drew with Wicklow 3-17 apiece. I think they were reeled in late on, but the draw is enough to put them through. Ron, you have a bit of a report on that match.
We had another intern on the field. That's two interns we had out this week.
Yeah, he's on the field. He was
Fred Turbine was down there in Wicklow at the game.
So what's his name?
Freddie Turbine. But
it's not so. Brian Turbine's young fella.
Yeah, they're from out there, clearly roundabout, yeah. So the report...
Go on, the report.
So the report we got from Freddie, they started very well with early Gerald Kelly-Lynch goal. Two more goals for half-time from Andy Kilcullen and captain Fideon Colley. Had them in a commanding 3-10-8-point lead at half-time. There was a couple of forced changes to injury due to Paddy Foley and Gerald Kelly-Lynch. And then Wicklow took control in the second half, played their way again back into the game, eating away into Sligo's lead. They got a last-second goal to equalise, basically. And when Jimmy Gordon, the Sligo goalie, pucked it out to ref blue for 3-17 each. Great game. Andy Kilcullen was given the man of the match by Freddie. Now, Sligo ultimately knew that Derry had beat London, so regardless of the result, they were true to the semi-final. So next week,
Donegal, yeah. So the top team goes straight to the final and that, and Sligo turn playoff. And Donegal, obviously, on the second stage, get the whole advantage. Sligo played Donegal early in the league, obviously, in Markovic. Not a huge number between it.
Yeah.
There was a few red cards. I think there was a few very early red cards in that game. I could be mistaken there. There was a bit of needle in it, I suppose. So very good chance to go beat Donegal. I'd say that'll be in Letterkenny. I think they play most of their games in Letterkenny. But it's great to be... It's great to be in a semi-final in the first year that high. Even, look, not looking too far ahead, but even if they did get to the final and play Derry, I don't need to fear them a huge amount, because to play them in the first round of the league up in Celtic Park and put in a great performance, and it was pure winter conditions that day. So, yeah, things still on the up for Sligo Hurlers. Big thanks to Freddie Turbine there, her intern from St. Mary's College in Ballester, who was at that game and gave us that report. We have to mention one last thing, the handball, of course. And Ballymote man, Cormac Finn, Ballymote boy, man, I wonder, he won the minor four-wall All-Ireland Championship. Massive achievement.
Big achievement, yeah.
And there was huge celebrations out in Ballymote. Ballymote's Cormac Finn, so he won that in King's Court on Saturday, and there was great videos of his homecoming, so I have to give a big shout-out to Cormac, definitely. You've seen a few of the videos on...
Yeah, and there's a great picture, I think, of him celebrating just after
that. There is. I just going through that. Sorry, I stalled it for a second because I only seen that Carly Cooney also but was in the under 17 girls final as well. She obviously wasn't successful, but so it's great. Obviously, big handball community out there.
Yeah, it's back.
It's great sport. Some fitness in it.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Do you think Ballester used to be big into the handball here as
well?
Yeah.
No, who else? They're still like up in Colony, I think.
Right. Okay.
Because I've seen, I always see someone on Facebook. But yeah. So Cormac Finn is the All Ireland champion. That's all you have to say.
Great news.
Yep. Big news. And well done, Cormac. And hopefully that'll lead to some adult titles in the future for you. I like his jersey now, I have to say. I don't know if you've seen it. You've seen the video of him celebrating. It's a white and black. I'm not sure if it's an actual Sligo jersey or what does he have, but or maybe it's just a general handball one. And it's a great photo of him. I presume that's his dad. He's in his arms there. So well done, Cormac, All-Ireland champion, the Ballymunk man. We're just going to do a quick roundup of our other sports around the county, and we'll be done then.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports. Bart, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
Sports! Yeah, just a roundup of our the other sports going on around the place. We better start, lads. Well, we want to start anyways with the basketball. So they had their quarterfinal playoff on Saturday evening, and it was a nail biter. I was only following it on Twitter, and big shout out to Circa Crowley, who was doing the updates and tagging us in them. I tweeted at one stage off our page that the All-Stars were in control. There were, I think there were maybe 10, 12 points up, and the next tweet it was level. And
that's what's funny like that, though.
It is, yeah, if you had a run at all. And
momentum.
Big time, yeah. So, and it was then it kind of got back to 5 points, and it was coming to 2-1, and they finally pulled away to 1-5, 91-86 in the end against Father Matthews. That leads us on to, as Shane was telling us last week, how the playoff system works. So, home semi-final next week in the Mercy Gym, 7:30 against IT Carlow Basketball, the Scallion Eaters, as they're known. That's on at 7:30 in the Mercy College Gym. So a win there, and we're heading to the National Arena for a final and a shot at the Super League, which would really kick basketball.
It really would, yeah.
Kick basketball off.
Get your tickets in early.
Get your tickets, yeah. They're on sale now. I got mine there. Really looking forward to it. It's the first Saturday I've been free, Saturday evening I've been free, so I'm really looking forward to going in and seeing it. Hopefully, big crowd again. I said it will be. It's the last home game of the season, realistically, anyways. So a win there and one game away from the Super League, and we'll be jumping. We'll be going to the National Arena, are we?
In Tallinn, isn't it?
The scores are up there. My battery went on my phone, unfortunately. I know Keith Jordan had a big one again. That's okay, Ron. You don't need that. Look, we'll have it all. Big updates. We'll be firmly on the All-Stars bus this Saturday. So big win, and well done to all concerned there. Shane, of course, is on with us last week or 2 weeks ago for a very enjoyable interview.
Yeah,
good reaction.
Apart from the man in Ballina, I believe, Ross.
Yeah, apparently.
There's a bit of an angry
man in Ballina said he wouldn't listen to it if he was paid to.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yes, yeah. Some basketball man in the pub. It's a shortest rivalry, like, so it's
crazy. Wasn't Liam McHale. It wasn't him either.
But anyways. That's good. So basketball's won. Ronan, Derek Fox has to get a shout out. He was the Sligo winner at Cheltenham.
He was, yeah. He'd winner of the Ultimate Chase, it's called, aboard Cork Rambler. I think it went off 11-1. It's funny because it's a running joke in our Cheltenham group. I don't think I've ever backed a winner of that race. Just in all of my years gambling that particular race, I don't think I've ever backed a winner. And yeah, I sat in Foley's while everybody else around me cheered it on, and I was nowhere to be seen again. But no, in fairness, it was great. Great, right? He was out the back the whole way and then brought him up with a couple of fences to go. You could see it two fences out that he had plenty of horse on him. And yeah, great to see him win. He was very unlucky in one of the grade ones. Then later in the week, he came second on a thing called Ahoy Senor. That was in one of the big races. It kept clanking through fences and nothing he could do about it. But he actually did a great ride on
He's a real household name though, isn't he?
Very good, yeah. The TV polls you'd see for like Ride of the Week, he would have been winning it, I'd say, until Florin Porter won the Stairs Hurdle. Danny Mullins wrote that. And then Rachel won the Gold Cup on Plutair. But it really was. It was probably, in my eyes, it would have been the best ride of the week. It was brilliant.
Derek Fox still keeps going from strength to strength. So,
yeah.
Quick round of a few other things. The cricketers, they were Ballinasloe again, actually, and they succumbed to defeat there, so I won't say much more about that. And a special shout-out for a Sligo lad who's playing volleyball, actually. He had a win there in the All-Ireland quarter-final. Stephen Austin, he plays for the Rackheel Rattlesnakes out of Limerick, and I think he's some sort of point guard, maybe net minder. and Stephen Austin was involved in the Rocky Rattlesnakes win. So
stunning.
Yeah. They go ahead to the volleyball semi-finals.
Okay, lads. That's great. Good show. Back in 2 weeks' time, and that'll be our last show before our live show. So,
Jesus.
Thanks for tuning in. Give us another like or whatever on the socials. Spotify. Give us a note.
DM us if you want a ticket.
DM the tickets. We'll sort them. We'll sort them out.
We'll actually start getting your questions in for the live show.
Yes.
And audience participation for this.
And potentially any of you songbirds out there that want to do a bit of karaoke on the night.
We still have the karaoke competition.
Still going. Yeah.
It's going ahead, of course. Yeah.
It actually has to be the other day. I might have someone for that. He was more looking for a dance-off, actually, maybe.
But we know that. Karaoke, our normal guest interaction, so get your questions in for that. We're about 4 weeks to that. So, good show, lads. Yep. DM if you need tickets. Like and share. Thanks very much.
I'm going back to where the beach is near. The beer is dear. There's plenty of women out of the crowd. Walking around the final second. The whistle is gone. And slide over. That's your champion. By the riverside, you can watch the tide as it flows.
Well, I'm being told that Average Joe's does not have enough players and will be forfeiting the championship match.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Get it right and drive it clean out over the fence. Oh, he's a cardinal. Jesus,
in the bookie shop, I don't. Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.